So back to the Middle East now. Delirious about their own budding democracy, Egyptians are watching with some anxiety what's happening in Libya, there in North Africa, as Colonel Gaddafi battles the rebels. The BBC's correspondent Jonathan Head has been on the streets of Cairo to find out how democracy is making people in Egypt concerned about what's going on in very undemocratic Libya.
This is the headquarters of the Arab League in Cairo. It is a rowdy place these days. Having pulled off their own revolution, Egyptians are joining protesters from other Arab countries to demand the same freedoms across the region. Libya is first on their list.
I'm Egyptian. I would like to go to Libya to fight against Muammar Gaddafi.
Among this crowd, the appearance of foreign aircraft over the skies of Libya is welcome. Nabil Hussein Soufraki is a British-Libyan activist based in Cairo.
We do not want boots on the ground. No Arab wants boots on the ground from a foreign force. There's a bad precedent of this. But what they're doing by taking out heavy artillery, by taking out their tanks, by taking out their air capabilities and communications is to the ultimate benefit of the Libyan people. And their spirits have been raised. Their hope has been raised. We need the international community to keep strong.
Not far away, there's another demonstration. In fact, you can find one on pretty much every corner of Cairo now. These are journalists demanding that the old pro-Mubarak editors be sacked from state television. In this well-educated crowd, support for international intervention in Libya is also strong. Gamila Ismail is one of Egypt's most prominent democracy campaigners.
I think everyone, not just the Egyptians, should help the Libyans.
Military help or other kinds of help?
Every kind of help.
So you don't mind seeing Western-led military force in Libya?
Listen, I mean, with this situation over there, it's quite difficult to say so, but it's also impossible to leave those people be killed there.
But with so many issues to grapple with in the post-Mubarak era, artist Pierre Soufi says it's hard to devote much time to Libya's problems.
I don't really speak about Libya these days. Although it is very important to know what's happening, but we have our own business to take care of. We are not the Americans. We cannot take care of all the business of everybody involved.
Individual Egyptians have been generous, though. Anas Bouhadi is a young Libyan volunteer who's been working with the convoys.
The work that has been taken care of from the Egyptian side, I think it has been overwhelming. I think it would have been very, very difficult for the eastern Libyan region to actually cope with the amount of wounded people and the shortage of aid in terms of food.
And what about the new interim government in Egypt, led by one of the region's most powerful armies? Its refusal to involve itself in the crisis on its doorstep has been striking. It has a great deal on its plate at home, of course, and fears over the safety of more than a million Egyptian citizens still inside Libya. Instead, says international relations specialist Emad Gad, it's making a diplomatic contribution through the Arab League. Egypt has always been its most influential member state.
Egypt played an active role to pass the Arab League decision in order to allow for humanitarian intervention from NATO or Western countries. And don't forget that this is the first time that the Arab League gave permission to launch a military campaign against any Arab president. But Egypt cannot play an active role in the military operations.
Voices from Cairo, that's the BBC's Jonathan Head.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.